Blog Talk Radio.
People have to put up with, who cares about what a poor black man has to face every day in a country and a culture controlled by rich white people. Somebody missed that. You got nervous because we got some white members here. I am still in Bible country. I am still in the text. Jesus was a poor black man who lived in a country and who lived in a culture that was controlled by rich white people. The Romans were rich. The Romans were Italians, which means they were European, which means they were white. And the Romans ran everything in Jesus' country. It just came to me within the past few weeks, y'all, why so many folks are hating on Barack Obama. He doesn't fit the model. He ain't white. He ain't rich, and he ain't privileged. Hillary fits the mold. Europeans fit the mold. Giuliani fits the mold. White men fit. Well, he never had a cab with his pastor and not pick her up because her skin was the wrong color. Hillary never had to worry about being pulled over in her car as a black man driving in the wrong. I am sick of Negroes who just do not get it. Hillary was not a black boy raised. Day in a country and a culture controlled by rich white people. Somebody missed that. You got nervous because we got so many members here. I am still in Bible country. I am still in the text. Jesus was a poor black man who lived in a country and who lived in a culture that was controlled by rich white people. The Romans were rich. The Romans were Italians, which means they were European, which means they were white. And the Romans ran everything in Jesus' country. It just came to me within the past few weeks, y'all, why so many folks are hating on Barack Obama. He doesn't fit the model. He ain't white. He ain't rich. And he ain't privileged. Hillary fits the mold. Europeans fit the mold. Giuliani fits the mold. Rich white men fit the mold. Hillary never had a cab whiz past her and not pick her up because her skin was the wrong color. Hillary never had to worry about being pulled over in her car as a black man driving in the wrong. I am sick of Negroes who just do not get it. Hillary was not a black boy raised in a single parent home. Barack was. Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country and a culture that is controlled by rich white people. Hillary can never know that. Hillary ain't never been called a nigger. Hillary has never had her people defined as non-person. Hillary ain't had to work twice as hard just to get accepted by the rich white folk who run everything, or to get a passing grade when you know you are smarter than that C student sitting in the White House. Oh, I am so glad that I got a God who knows what it is to be a poor black man in a country and a culture that is controlled by and run by rich white people. So he taught me, Jesus did, how to love my enemies. Jesus taught me how to love the hell out of my enemies and not be reduced to their level of hatred, bigotry, and small-mindedness. Hillary ain't never had her own people say she wasn't white enough. Jesus had his own people siding with the enemy. That's why I love Jesus, y'all. He never let their hatred dampen his hope. There is the name I love. I love to sing his words. It sounds like
and now, Tom Farinella.
Yes, indeed, Tom Farinella here. Welcome to the most intriguing podcast in America. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Tom Farinella, and you're in for the ride of your life. Oh, yeah. Reverend Wright, giving it to the world. How dare we? Barack Obama should not be challenged. Hillary and Barack. Barack and Hillary. It's one big ball of massive confusion, ladies and gentlemen. Just like this radio show, this is what it must be like inside the Democrats' head. Heavens to Betsy, you hear me? Ooh, you gotta love it. Ooh. You talk about a man filled with nothing. nothing but hatred, venom, and detest. It is that man, Reverend Wright. I don't care what you say, black, white, green. Oh, green. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you out there. For the love of God. Somebody's got to make sense of this wacky, crazy world. Bad enough that people allow their girlfriends to sit on a toilet bowl for 2 days. I'm sorry, 2 years without even calling police. Why? Why is it like that? Oh, boy. Well, stop. Where am I? He was definitely on cue and on target, and he was fine. But I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I am just marveled at the notion that befuddled. Did you hear this guy, though? Woo-wee! I mean, you talk about he is dedicated to this guy, Barack Obama. And why shouldn't he? He mentored Barack Obama for 20 whole years. Do you realize that? He's been his spiritual advisor for the last 20 years. Well, this is the Tom Farinella Show. And if you just tuned in, you want to give us a call, 347-326-9037. 347-326-9037. The phones are open. We'll be very happy to take your call. I just can't even tell you what it's like to sit back and listen to a man who hates people, white people. It's very obvious. He has a very, very, he has an utter contempt for white people, without question, and it is beyond any sense of reason or rationale. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's scary. It's very scary. And to think that this is the guy that mentored Barack Obama, and sent him on his way. It's no shock. It's no shock that this is the guy. This is the one who is basically, you know, taught Barack everything he knows, would you say? Or no? I don't know. But if you want to give us a call, please do so, because the show is nothing without you, the caller, 347-326-9037. Give us a call right now if you want to talk Barack Obama or anything else. I mean, I am Baracked out after that, but let's see. I mean, it's compelling that nobody has called out this. Let's see what this is all about. This is good stuff. Yes, computer slow day. We're on a computer slow day. Slow computer day.
Senator Obama, you say you're a Christian. If I had the opportunity to talk to Jesus Christ, I'd be asking something much more important than the Senate race. I'd want to know whether I was going up or down. I'm very proud of my Christianity, and it sustains me, and it's part of what motivates me to get involved in public service.
And the question I think that I would pose to the Lord is not whether I'm going up or going down. I want to know where he stands so that I may follow him.
Yeah, I don't need Mr. Keyes lecturing me about Christianity. That's why I have a pastor. That's why I have my Bible.
That's why he has a pastor. Who cares about what a poor black man has to face every day in a country and a culture controlled by rich white
people. Somebody missed that. You got nervous because we got some white members here. I am still in Bible country. I am still in the text. Jesus was a poor black man who lived in a country and who lived in a culture that was controlled by rich white people. The Romans were rich. The Romans were Italians, which means they were European, which means they were white. And the Romans ran everything in Jesus' country. It just came to me within the past few weeks, y'all, why so many folks are hating on Barack Obama. He doesn't fit the model. He ain't white. He ain't rich.
Yeah.
And he ain't privileged.
That's right.
Hillary fits the mold.
Yeah.
Europeans fit the mold.
That's right.
Giuliani fits the mold.
Rich
white men
Giuliani.
Fit the mold. Hillary never had a cab whiz past her and not pick her up because her skin was Hillary never had to worry about being pulled over in her car as a black man driving in the wrong. I am sick of Negroes who just do not get it.
How can you miss that? Listen to that. I mean, come on.
Wrong. I am sick of Negroes who just do not get it. Hillary was not a black boy raised in a single parent home. Barack was. Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country and a culture that is controlled by rich white people. Hillary can never know that. Hillary ain't never been living in a country and a culture that is controlled by rich white people. Hillary can never know that. Hillary ain't never been called a nigger. Hillary has never had her people defined as non-person. Hillary ain't had to work twice as hard just to get accepted by the rich white folk who run everything, or to get a passing grade when you know you are smarter than that C student sitting in the White House. Oh, I am so glad.
That's right.
That I got a God who knows what it is to be a poor black man in a country and a culture that is controlled by and run by rich white people. He taught me, Jesus did, how to love my enemies. Jesus taught me how to love the hell out of my enemies and not be reduced to their level of hatred, bigotry, and small-mindedness. Hillary ain't never had her own people say she wasn't white enough.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hillary has never
had his own people siding with the enemy.
Oh.
That's why I love Jesus, y'all. He never let their hatred dampen his hope. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his words. It sounds...
This is the Tom Farinello Radio Program. Hello, everybody. I'm Tom Farinello. We're breaking it down here for you. The most intriguing broadcast in America. That's right. For people who just get it. And if you're listening to this wacko, Jeremiah Wright, who seems to be pretty wrong, where's that problem? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, but you know what? There is a charge that flows through you when you listen to Reverend Wright, don't you? I mean, don't you feel like you're awake? You're awake after that, right? That's how I feel. I mean... Anyhow, this is it's compelling to see that this is what the state of political affairs has become. Yeah, this is what it is. With this guy screaming and yelling and ranting and raving, this is where we're at. I mean, it goes on and on. Do you understand that? It doesn't stop there. That's a small, a tiny small example of what this guy has to say. It's just a very small...
The injustice is ignored. When women are treated like or are permitted in this society to be called other justice is ignored. And on that note, let me paraphrase Dr. Anthony Campbell, one of the nation's greatest teachers. He said something to this effect. Fact number one, we've got more black men in prison than there are in college.
Racism
is how this country was founded and how this country is still run.
Well,
no black man can ever
way of going
on that.
Okay,
how hard you run, Jesse, and no black man will ever be considered as anything outside of what she can give with her body. Fact number three, America is still the number one killer in the world. We invaded Grenada for no other reason than to get Maurice Bishop. We destroyed Panama because Noriega would not dance to our team anymore. We are deeply involved in the importing of drugs, the exporting of guns, and the training of professional killers. We bombed Cambodia, Iraq, and Nicaragua, killing women and children while trying to get public opinion turned against Castro and Gaddafi. Fact number four, we put Mandela in prison and supported apartheid the whole 27 years. He was there. We believe in white supremacy and black inferiority and believe it more than we believe in God. Fact number five, we supported Zionism shamelessly while ignoring the Palestinians and branding anybody they out against it as being anti-Semitic. Fact number six, we conducted radiation experiments on our own people. You just found it out about that. We care nothing about human life if the end justifies the means. Fact number seven, we do not care if poor black and brown children cannot read and kill each other senselessly. We abandoned the city back in the 60s when the riots started, and it really doesn't matter what those natives do to each other. We gave up on them and public education on poor people who live in the project. We with VCRs and TVs, CDs, and gramophones have more homeless than any nation in the world. Fact number eight, we started the AIDS virus, and now that it is out of control, we still put more money in the military than in medicine, more money in hate than in humanitarian concerns. Everybody does not have access to health care. I don't care what the rich white boys in the city say. Let us all listen up. If you are poor, black, and elderly, forget it. Fact number nine, we are only able to maintain our level of living by making sure that very well people live in grinding poverty. And fact number 10, we are selfish, self-centered, egotistic, who are arrogant and ignorant. We play at church and do not try to make the kingdom that Jesus talked about a reality. And in light of these statements, God has got to be sick of this shit.
Whoa. Heavens. Have you ever in your life ever heard of anything so bizarre? Man, he is filled with anger and hatred and disgust and despised. He just, it is just out there. Really and truly, it is out there. I can't figure out what in God's green earth is going on. But that there is exactly what Barack Obama is all about. Because this is a guy who brought Barack Obama up 20 years, two decades of coddling and caring for somebody leads you to that. That's right. 2 decades he was the pastor for Barack Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to give us a call, 347-326-9037. I've never in my life ever heard of anything so charged, so racially charged, so racially obvious. And I guess, you know, there is a hatred. Despite what we may want to think, there is a distinct hatred. It's clear. It's clear that by Barack's pastor, there is a clear, distinct hatred for white people. He blames white people for all of the... We're talking about nuclear holocaust. We're talking about AIDS. We're talking about birth. the mere birth of black people the insanity is beyond any sense of rationale. And I went, you know, I wear this as a badge of honor. I will not sit here and go on and on and on about it, but I have, in the past, I went to an all-black law school in Washington, D.C., called the University of District of Columbia School of Law. Yes, and I saw the struggle. I saw my colleagues, but you know what? I never backed down. They eventually came to see me for an honest, good man who was not a thief, who was not a liar, who did not make believe. But because my parents raised me well and I had a genuinely good heart. And ladies and gentlemen, the point of it is, as long as we have pastors like this out there, Pastor Wright going on about his hot, heated rhetoric, those people, you hear the parishioners, you hear the congregation's going absolutely mad, like it's a sporting event. As long as we have people like Pastor Wright, as long as we have people who have those viewpoints, we will have hatred in America times 10. And there is no pointing the finger where it comes from, because when you hear garbage like that, it comes from all angles. It comes from his angle, it comes from the white supremacists on the other side, and the reality is there's a very big cultural divide here. And the funny thing about it is there's a cultural divide in the Democratic Party, because what Pastor Wright is saying is that Hillary Clinton doesn't know about struggle. Hillary Clinton hasn't had to do a damn thing. She's had everything handed to her. You know, I think he forgets the fact that Hillary Clinton is a woman. The last time I checked. But all in all, Hillary Clinton is a female. And there has been a gender gap. And there's been a claim that women have been treated less than men. And they've been paid less than men. And there's been a whole debate about the unequal treatment of females in this country as well. So I don't know if he's confused or not, but he's not, you know, Hillary Clinton is not a rich white man. She has had her own struggles. You know, the age of feminism and all that other stuff. The funny thing about it is I don't sound so convincing because I don't buy all of it, but true in all, women were originally, along with black people, denied the right to vote. Women's suffrage did not come along until later on. Isn't that true? And here we are. So I would say that Hillary Clinton is she's of a protected class. There is sincere, strict laws on the books with regards to gender discrimination. Absolutely. So she's a member of a protected class. That's right. Now, she may not be black. I guess if she was a black woman, that would be ultimate. But then again, if she was a black woman and she was running for president and she was a Republican, none of these rules would apply. That's what gets me about this whole thing. Clarence Thomas, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, none of these people matter to Reverend Wright. They're all irrelevant. They are, you know, and the sad thing about it is Condoleezza Rice talks about the day that she was in favor of gun control. You know what she said? The day I became an advocate for the right to bear arms, the day I became an advocate of the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, was when I was a 7-year-old girl and I watched my daddy go on the front lawn with his shotgun to chase away the Ku Klux Klan who were coming to kill us. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's reality. You're going to sit there and say that people like Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice haven't been through the struggle, and then you dismiss these people because they don't fall on your side politically. They want to take their own future in their own hands. They don't want to listen to the likes of you, Reverend Wright, who hold them back. Let me tell you, there's no greater sin, ladies and gentlemen. There's no greater sin than ignorance. And this is what this guy is talking. He's ignorant. But yet, Barack Obama said in the debate, this is his pastor. This is his mentor. His role model. This is the man who has shaped him. Lord, have mercy on us all, because, you know, I look at a guy like this, and there is nothing, nothing but absolute shock. Because this man believes everything he is saying. He believes every single word. Passionately, to the point where he's dancing, and he's gyrating, and he's going crazy up there. This is what it's all about for him. This is the Tom Farinello radio program, the most intriguing broadcast in America. If you want to give us a call and be a part of the program, you can do so by calling 347-326-9037. We'll be happy to take your call. Absolutely. And there's no question in my mind that at some point, somebody's got to step up to the plate and really, I mean, it's interesting that the media has waited so long. I don't think it's any secret, but we're here. This is a compelling discovery, a compelling breakthrough. And there's no question that, just trying to figure out how the switchboard works. But there's no, I mean, just listening to that guy go crazy like that, those rantings are scary. There's no question, though, in my mind that, well, I guess that guy's, there's no question in my mind that there's something wrong with him. You know, you're racist. What else can you say? What else can you, I mean, the proof happens to be in the pudding, isn't it? Is there anything else to say? I mean, listen, you know, that's, I don't like that one. Here you go. This is just this, the 2008. Ready? Here you go. Take a listen to Reverend Wright.
Comical freestyling, Sonny. Last comment is you gonna freestyling, Sonny. Common, you gonna freestyling, Sonny. It's three things now. Let's see. Healthy evaluation, hopeful anticipation, holy affirmation. You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trinity, we're gonna get live. We're gonna keep it live tonight. Clap your hands up. Yeah. Clap your hands up. Clap your hands up. Clap your hands up. Clap your hands up. Yo, it's like this, though. We build our own nation. This is what I'm telling you, a healthy evaluation. I let you know about the holy affirmation. I'm telling you, we build our own nation. Anticipation. We gonna make it great. 2007 was heaven. This is 8. 2008. We gonna take it so straight. And let our people understand, for God, we gon' wait. We wait on the Lord. Let people know, yo, we wait on the Lord. Let the people know, yo, we waiting on the Lord. We waiting on the Lord. We waiting on the Lord. We're patient. Yo, come let you know about the anticipation. Let you know about the holy affirmation. We can build a nation. Let you know God just is. My man been doing this for 36 years. And we can't appear. It's all clear. Cause we won't get lost. Cause after that is coming my man, Otis Moss. We got the force, we got the source. God is like the force, God is the soul, God is the place. All the believers respecting Jesus. I can let you know, Lord, I gotta thank you for putting me in smoking aces, American gangster. It's all love, giving me that. God says, yo, I came and I came in this rap. I can let you know about it. My style is about it. Couldn't do it without it. With my man, without my reverend, Reverend Wright. We like do it right now on a New Year's night. It's a new year. We gonna be live. and we gon' make it right for the people out there. And I can let you know, don't nobody want drama. We gon' vote for my man, what's his name? Obama, 2008. We gon' take him straight to president. I'm letting you know he's a Trinity resident. Yeah, it's like that, we won't be hesitant. Revolution is here, we coming clear. We in God's ear, right with the prayers. Throw the prayers up in the air and say, yeah. I can let you know, yeah, gotta take care of you. That's what he do, gotta take care of you. And that's what he do, gotta take care of you. Yo, wait on the Lord.
Yep, we're gonna wait on the Lord. I don't blame him there. That's where I put my faith. Oh, they're having a fun time here, too, at that church. Looks like a good church. But, you know, unfortunately, there's just a lot of anger. It seems to be a lot of anger.
Obama, hip hop for Obama, hip hop for Obama.
You know, it's been four decades since Bobby Kennedy crouched and shagged along the Mississippi Delta and looked into the wide, listless eyes of a hungry child. Again and again, he tried to talk to this child, but each time his efforts were met with only a blank stare of desperation. When Kennedy turned for the reporters traveling with him, with tears in his eyes, he asked a single question about poverty in America. How can a country like this allow it? How can a country like this allow it? 40 years later, we're still asking that.
Yeah, we are still asking that. Because this is a country that is built, a country built on the advancement of people who work hard. And sometimes poverty happens to bad people. I'm sorry, bad things.
Thank you, Caroline, for that wonderful introduction and for your courage and bold vision, for your insight.
Let me just say, let me correct myself. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And it's not easy. I can appreciate Barack Obama's wanting to cure poverty because it is a significant issue, and it's a real issue. But the question is, how do we do it that where we maintain the liberty of this nation? The problem we have is that people like George Bush get called C students instead of people who try to make change. George Bush is one of his most intriguing policies, which was never fully exhausted, which was the using faith-based organizations as a means to solving some of these ills. And that's where it comes from, because the solving of poverty comes from people wanting to help those who are in need. The solving of racism comes from those from within, ladies and gentlemen. We do not have the ability to wave a magic wand and say, here's a check for everybody to now be rich. Here's a job for everybody. Here's social status for everybody. So now so racism is eliminated. No, ladies and gentlemen. The only way that we're able to solve real tragic issues like racism, poverty, and things that truly and genuinely affect people is through changing the heart. It's through raising our children to take care of those who are not as fortunate, to raise our children to look at people with a biased eye, to raise our children to see people with a blind eye, that everybody is equal, that no words to describe any group is acceptable if it's derogatory. That's where it begins. It begins with families raising children, because racism and poverty. These are things that are somehow children happen to be born into, whether it's white racism, black racism, whatever kind of racism. You're taught hate. Sometimes it's difficult when a family, generation after generation of a family has been impoverished. To break that cycle is extremely difficult, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something. I do not come from wealth. And I'm fighting every day of my life. I wake up every day. I fight my tail off to try to break the cycle of mediocrity in my family, not to disgrace any of those who have come before me, or my father or my mother who have worked hard to raise me. But they want better for me. I want better for me. But I'll tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, there is no government in the world that's going to give you riches or give you any better opportunity than you yourself can give. You are the only person who's in control of your own destiny. You can make the difference. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barbara Bush, the rest of the ilk, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Ted Kennedy, any one of the Republican senators, Elliot Spitzer, elected officials are not going to do it for you. There's a good chance, a great chance, the only thing they're going to do is let you down. They cannot put food on your table. They can give you a promise of a temporary fix, but it ain't going to last very long. They can give you a promise of free health care, but as soon, if you start giving free health care away over a period of time, what's happening to Social Security will happen to that. We'll be bankrupt as a nation. You're not going to find your hope, your future, your spirit in a politician. You're not. And the more the politician promises you something for free, the more weary you should be of him. I'm not sitting here saying vote McCain, vote for this one. I'm just telling you from an honest standpoint, at the end of the day, be weary of those people who are offering you for free things because nothing comes for free. And unless we as a nation wake up and smell the coffee and start raising our children to start thinking from a place of strength and opportunity and positiveness, the Lord, God, is the only person that can guarantee you anything. The God above, yeah, I will get spiritual. Because I'll tell you one thing, the only person that's ever saved me from even myself was God. The only person that came down here and touched my life in places that I can't ever imagine and performed miracles above and beyond was God. And I admire Reverend Wright's belief in the Lord. And I admire his belief in Jesus. And I admire the belief. But using religion as a pawn to try to manipulate is not right. Because the only way that we're going to get anywhere is with God. But God helps those who help themselves. And you know what? He even helps those who screw their lives up. I've been there. Okay? I've made so many mistakes in my life. And you know what? He's always been there to pick me up. He's always been there to proclaim that he is there. He is my God. He's helped me. He has helped me become a better person. He's helped me to see my mistakes. He's helped me to realize what it is I have not rather than what I don't have. Through his little shining examples here and there, his presence is made. I don't even realize it half the time. Half the time I'm in some kind of spiritual mope, and you know I'm pulled out of it because I realize that something small happens and it's a symbol of God. You want to have hope and faith? That's who you have hope and faith in. But Lord, have mercy. May the good Lord above have mercy if you think that Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or any one of those ill-likes are up there are going to do anything other than what they can't do or what they're destined to do is fail you. The only thing a politician can really do is truly put in a policy and a mechanism to try to have a free market that allows and a strong national defense. Other than that, What else do you want the government to do? You want and to keep you safe. But if you think that this government with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama is going to do anything more than what it's doing, you've got another thing coming. Because Barack Obama can't solve poverty. He never will. Because poverty is the issue of poverty is so far more complicated than just putting a check to it. The issue of poverty is more than just simply writing a check and saying, okay, it's over and done with now. Poverty comes from a deep root. Unless properly understood, it's meaningless to try to solve it. There's no way in God's green earth you're ever going to be able to sit back and think that one man can solve a complicated issue like poverty or racism. If you think because Barack Obama's black and he has the ability to bridge the gap, well, listen, if anything, he there's a schism in the Democratic Party. That's clear. 90% of the black people, the black Democrats, are voting for Barack Obama. There's a schism. So the Democrats, who have been the architects of the racial of racial diversity, they have demonstrated exactly what it is to be diverse, to be fair, to be open-minded, to love. They're in a quandary like no other. And what do we have here, ladies and gentlemen? What do we have left at the end of the day? At the end of the day, we have a country that needs a leader that can be effective, a leader that can facilitate change, a leader that can do more than make empty promises. Hillary Clinton doesn't give us the answer either. But if you think that the government, this government, with the people that is running it, that are running it at this point in time, are going to do anything other than let you down, you're kidding me. Even John McCain, I've learned that based upon the way that people are, politicians aren't very strong today. Look at the weirdness that surrounds the governors of the state of New York. Look at the weirdness that surrounds the governors of the state of New Jersey. Bizarre behavior. Threesomes in the New Jersey governor's mansion. Elliot Spitzer roaming around town with a hooker. I mean, people don't even have the decency to realize that they are elected officials and that there's a certain way to be dignified. If you're a private citizen and you're not dignified, that's one thing. But to be the governor of the state of New York and New Jersey and to conduct themselves the way they do is an absolute travesty. It's a shame. It's a shame that the world has come to what it's come to. But it's here. It's here. And I'll tell you one thing. I pop up on here once in a while to just air out my frustration because I look at the hypocrisy that goes on. And I'll tell you one thing. If there was a white pastor standing up there saying things that were racially divisive, there would be an outcry. There would be a protest around the world to have that person, whatever, locked away forever. You know, at what point does the double standard stop? At what point does this moron pastor realize that, you know, there are good people out there? There are good people out there who don't hate black people, who have friends, and, you know, it's not just cliche sayings. 3 long years I went to law school where I was predominantly, I was a minority. 3 long years. It's not just window dressing. To say, oh, yes, I have black friends, you know, in the Chris Rock white person voice. And that the world's not mature enough to grow up. That's not because they're stupid or they're dumb. It's because they're ignorant. And they're not being taught. They're being taught to think a different way. Because racism, bigotry, prejudice comes from a deep place, a deeply rooted heart. Children listen to their parents. They go to churches like this. It's no wonder, it seems very confusing to me at first why Michelle Obama thought that she couldn't be proud to be an American until her husband was nominated or her husband started running for president. But you listen to a guy like Reverend Wright, oh boy, you can feel the hatred in your heart, Phil. You can feel the prejudice in your heart towards white people. You can feel the power in what he's saying. He's a dangerous, divisive man. And he throws God in there every once in a while. While I appreciate it, it's a cover. God will look at him and say, you know what? You need not say more than someone like Martin Luther King, who said, content of character, not color of skin. These crazy, out of whack, hyper intense statements are meant to do one thing. They're meant to inflame and to perpetuate a mind frame. They're meant to perpetuate a way of thinking. And if Barack Obama, after 20 years, came out of his church and didn't think this way, then the Reverend's not so good. Because, boy, after 5 minutes of listening to the Reverend, I was getting charged. Who knows what we have with Barack Obama? But it's getting scarier and more confusing by the second.
Right and understanding and for the power and reach of your words. Like you, we too want a president who appeals to the hopes of those who still believe in the American dream and those around the world who still believe in the American ideal and who can lift our spirits and make us believe again. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Caroline. Your mother and father would be so proud of you today. Thank you, Patrick, for your leadership in Congress and for being here to celebrate and support a leader who truly has the power to inspire.
There you go, Ted Kennedy on Barack Obama. That's what it is. So there you are. There you are. I mean, there's not much more to be said. I mean, is there? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tom Farinella here. Yes, another great program. Thank you very much. The Tom Farinella Show, taptalk.com. You can email me, Tom, at taptalk.com. I appreciate you for joining me today. You know what, what else is there to say?
And make America good. Thank you, American University. Thank you, American University.
And then I've got to give a special shout out to my pastor, the guy who puts up with me, counsels me, listens to my wife complain about me. He's a friend and a great leader, not just in Chicago, but all across the country. So, and a great leader, not just in Chicago, but all across the country. So please, everybody, give an extraordinary welcome to my pastor, Dr. Jeremiah A. Wright, Jr., President of the United Church of Christ. Where's he at? There he is. That's him. That's him right there.
People have to put up with, who cares about what a poor black man has to face every day in a country and a culture controlled by rich white people. Somebody missed that. You got nervous because we got some white members here. I am still in Bible country. I am still in the text. Jesus was a poor black man who lived in a country and who lived in a culture that was controlled by rich white people. The Romans were rich. The Romans were Italians, which means they were European, which means they were white. And the Romans ran everything in Jesus' country. It just came to me within the past few weeks, y'all, why so many folks are hating on Barack Obama. He doesn't fit the model. He ain't white. He ain't rich. And he ain't privileged. Hillary fits the mold. Europeans fit the mold. Giuliani fits the mold. Rich white men fit the mold. Hillary never had a cab whiz past her and not pick her up because people have.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me at the Tom Farinella Show. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Network. TapTalk.com, Tom at TapTalk.com. Well, it would have been nice to hear from you, but maybe next time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what else to say other than until next time, this is Tom Farinella reminding you, if you don't speak up, you will never be heard. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hey, drive safely, be careful. Do not drink and drive. Very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Hi, welcome to Hobo. This is Chris Matthews. Tonight we have a very special show for you because we got the only female candidate who got jumped by all the boys in the last presidential debate, Hillary Clinton. Presidential candidate Clinton, welcome to Highball. Is it true that the men became bad boys when they attacked you, the only woman, after the debates?
If all that were proven true, I think that would be a very serious offense.
Wow, holy cow. Man, what an answer. So, let us know, are you all on the same team or what? As Howard Dean got you guys going crazy trying to go after you and drop an ambush and bomb out your campaign.
You know, I just want our country to start having a conversation where people start talking to each other again and where we are listening to each other and where we try to solve the problems we have, because we have a lot of big problems. Mm-hmm. And